Thank you for the way in which you have ministered to us and are ministering to us this morning. Lord, we thank you that you know just what we need. Lord, we thank you that you are the only one who can meet our deepest needs. And Lord, we thank you that you do that because of your love for us. Father, pray that you might continue to minister to us, even as your word comes forth this morning. Continue to glorify Christ. Lord, we pray that Christ and Christ alone will be seen. Lord, we thank you for the fire of your presence. Lord, may we experience that again this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, and amen. We are talking about the Holy Spirit and you. Last week we talked about the wind, that the Holy Spirit, one of the pictures of the Holy Spirit is wind. We shared a little bit from Ezekiel 37, where Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones. He prophesied to the wind. He prophesied to Israel. And as he did that, the Spirit of God, the Ruach, the wind of God, did his part. And God caused the dry bones to come together as a mighty army filled with his Spirit. And that's just part of how the wind of God flows, breathing life into us. Today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit as fire. I have it as fire and oil, but I don't think I'll get to the oil. I'll just focus on the fire this morning. And as different things were happening, even as Angie was talking about lethargy, the Spirit of God was saying, she needs fresh fire. It's hard to be lethargic when there's fire around you. How many of you know that? No matter how tired you feel, if your house is on fire, you're going to move. You see? And so, when I'm finished, I'm going to pray for Angie again and for the rest of us, for the fire of God to touch us anew and to burn in us and on us and through us. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. The fire of God many times speak about the very presence, the holy presence of God. You know, and Moses was there in the wilderness taking care of sheep. The Lord appeared as a burning bush and got his attention. And as Moses drew close, the Lord said to him, listen, take off your shoes from off your feet because the place in which you stand is holy ground. And Moses responded appropriately, because the fire of God really talks about his presence, his holy presence. And when his holy presence is upon us and when his holy presence is made manifest, there has to be a response of awe and reverence to the very presence of God. Ezekiel got a glimpse of some stuff. Ezekiel, I'm going to read chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14 first. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Ezekiel gets this vision and he says, he sees some living creatures and then he sees the Lord. He says, the appearance of the living creatures were like burning coals of fire or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright and lightning flashed out of it. Wow. What an awesome vision, an awesome glimpse into these living creatures. They were like burning coals of fire, fire moving between them. Verse 14 says, the creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. Then he goes on to describe the creatures and talks about wheels within wheels as they moved. I'm going to skip down to verse 26. Above the expanse over their heads, that's the heads of the living creatures, was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him. Want to get a glimpse of the glory of God? See, the fire of God, the kind of glory of God, many times has a fire to it. Verse 28, like the appearance of a rainbow on the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, one of the natural responses, I fell face down and I heard the voice of one speaking. This was how Ezekiel got called into ministry. He got a vision, a glimpse of God, a glimpse of heaven. And he saw the creatures, and he saw the throne of God, and he saw the Lord himself, and he saw him like fire, blazing fire. And his response was to bow before the Lord and worship him. You know, somehow, somewhere along the line, we have lost the idea that God's appearance is like fire. But the Bible says it is. When you read Revelation, you see a similar type of thing around the throne. As people get glimpses of God's glory. When the Lord appeared to Israel in the wilderness upon the mountain, they saw the fire of God come down upon Mount Sinai. Not just the cloud, but the fire of God. Israel, and then, you know, earthquake and thunder and all sort of stuff. And they were like, ooh! And the Lord says, tell them to back off and not touch the mountain. Because of God's holy presence. When God decided to cut a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham divided up the animals, and for Abraham's sake, the Lord caused a sleep to come upon him, and then the Lord himself came down with a torch of fire and moved between the pieces of the animals and made a covenant with Abraham. The fire representing the very presence of God, establishing that covenant with Abraham. So Israel from the early days understood God to be a God of fire. In fact, the prophets understood that. That's why Elijah could have confidence in God burning up the sacrifice that he made, even though he poured water upon it, because he knew God to be a God of fire. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 23, they're recounting some things about the Lord. Verse 23 says, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in any form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. So the people of Israel have been reminded as to something about the very nature of the God that they serve. That the fire of God, part of what it helps us to realize that God is a very jealous God. He's jealous for my affection, jealous for your affection. It talks about God's passion for us, for his people. In James 4, it talks about the fact that he has given us his spirit. And he was saying to, James was saying to the people, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Being a friend with the world, you're an enemy of God. And our God is a consuming fire. He jealously desires the spirit that he has put inside of you and inside of me. God wants us all for himself. And so with this jealousy then, this part of what some people think is glowing out of the eyes of Christ in Revelation 1, when his eyes are like blazing fire, is a jealousy for his people. And anything that comes against his people, he will destroy like fire. He will consume like fire. What a love. And one of the things about fire is that it will consume stuff. Whether you like it or not. But the Lord in turn wants you and me to have that similar response of fire for him, because his spirit dwells inside of us, and that same spirit is a spirit that passionately wants us to go after the Lord. So when the Lord was telling them about the tabernacle, he said, really, there's a flame, there's a torch, there's a lamp that should be lit right outside of the most holy place, outside of the veil. And that light, that lamp should never go out. It should always be burning. There should always be, and that lamp represents you and me. There should always be a passion. There should always be a burning. There should always be a longing for the Lord. Amen. And we shouldn't allow anything to cause that flame to get weak. And the more we draw into God's presence, it's the stronger that passion and that desire becomes inside of you and inside of me. A zeal for the Lord. For the people of Israel, the very presence of God, Moses says, we're not leaving unless your presence is with us. And that very presence of God was with them as a cloud by day and a fire by night. Somewhere in the midst of the cloud, there was a fire. For their entire journey, signifying God's presence. God's tangible presence. And that fire gave them light and guidance. It brought warmth and heat. Many of you will appreciate that there are times when God will move upon people, his anointing, his presence be of such that people actually feel warmth or heat. It has happened to my wife several times. Her arm will get warm and she realizes that there's an anointing there, that God wants to touch somebody. God wants to bring his healing balm into the life of somebody. That's a way of God helping us to realize that his presence is there with us. In Jeremiah, the prophet asks, is there no balm in Gilead to bring healing to my people? Because the fire of God comes to bring healing. I want to read Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah 33 starting at verse 13. Isaiah 33 starting at verse 13. You who are far away, hear what I have done. You who are near, acknowledge my power. Verse 14. The sinners in Zion are terrified. Trembling grips the godless. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? Some good questions. God being a consuming fire should cause the unsaved to tremble. Should cause those who play around with sin to get concerned. And so the question is asked, who can dwell with this consuming fire? And the answer comes in verse 15. He who walks righteously and speaks what is right, who rejects gain from extortion and keeps his hand from accepting bribes, who stops his ears against plots of murder and shuts his eyes against contemplating evil. So the one who can dwell with a God who's a consuming fire are the people of God who set themselves to be pleasing to the Lord, to go after the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to reject evil. Verse 16, this is the man who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be in the mountain fortress. His bread will be supplied and water will not fail him. God is going to take care of that individual because of his or her heart towards him. And they're going to get some revelation. Verse 17, your eyes will see the king in his beauty. And view a land that stretches afar. In your thoughts, you'll ponder the former terror. What is that chief officer? Where is that chief officer? Where is the one who took the revenue? Where is the officer in charge of the towers? Verse 19, you will see those most arrogant people no more, those people of obscure speech with their strange, incomprehensible tongue. Look upon Zion, the city of our festivals. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a peaceful abode, a tent that will not be moved, its stakes will never be pulled up, nor any of its ropes broken. Verse 21, there the Lord will be your mighty one. I'll be like a place of broad rivers and streams, no gallery with oars will ride them, no mighty ship will sail them, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, it is he who will save us. Your rigging hangs loose, the mast is not held secure, the sail is not spread, then an abundance of spoils will be divided, and even the lame will carry off plunder. No one living in Zion will say, I am ill, and the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven. So what the Lord is saying is that as he comes to a consuming fire, the one who sets his or her heart towards him, the one who turns away from sin, that's the one who can dwell with this consuming fire. That's the one who can walk with this consuming fire. That's the one that God will reveal himself to, the beauty of the Lord. That's the one who will see God's miraculous intervention. That's the one who will walk with the healing power of God in their life. We're talking about God as a consuming fire. It's not unusual or strange that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and there were flames of fire. It was prophesied concerning the Messiah that he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Turn to Matthew chapter 3 and verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. This is what it says. I baptize you. This is John the Baptist speaking. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to, I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Verse 12 now. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Unquenchable fire. Burn up the chaff. And there are two ways to understand this. One way is the chaff referring to the unsaved, that at the end of when the Lord returns, they will be destroyed by fire. But another way is to see the chaff in our own lives, that as the fire of God comes upon us, it destroys the chaff in your life and in my life, burns up the stuff that is unpleasing to the Lord, destroys it. If we get a picture of the Lord coming upon us as fire, it's easy to see how we could walk around in victory. When those Hebrew boys were in the fire furnace, they saw one as the Son of God walking around them, and their ropes that had tied their hands were destroyed, was burned, but they themselves were safe. And that's a picture of what happens to you and to me as we experience the fire of God in our lives. It burns off the things that would keep us in bondage. It burns up the rope. It melts the chains. So we can walk around in freedom, even though we ourselves are not consumed, but we're engulfed in the very fiery presence of God. And as we walk with that fire purges us and purifies us and does a work in our own hearts and burns up the chaff that's in your life and in my life. So we can become purer and purer before the Lord. You know, in the revivals that have gone in the past, the revivals of the early 1900s, I've been reading this book. I had to read it when I was at seminary some years back. It's called Fire from Heaven by Harvey Cox. And he relates the movement of God. As the Spirit of God came upon people, they were consumed by the very presence of God that caused them to move with passion, caused them to move with power, caused them to move with what he calls fire. But he also describes some situation where the glory of the Lord came as a fire. People are meeting, and people outside think the building's on fire and send for the fire department, but it's just the glory of God. He talks about a young lady in India. As the revival spread to India, the presence of God came upon her such a powerful way that her friend saw her and thought she was on fire and went and got a bucket of water to throw on her. But it was the glory of God. You see? And so the Spirit of God comes upon us and wants to engulf us with his very presence. Wants to be among us with his very presence. That will cause people to be attracted to him and people to experience his freedom and for us to be empowered to be released to do the works of the kingdom. When he describes some of the stuff that happens at Azusa Street, it's amazing. When the fire of God is upon his people, lethargy has to go. Complacency will go. Something is working in us and through us, the very Spirit of God, energizing us. And so on the day of Pentecost, as the Spirit of God came upon them, it says that the fire of God divided up into tongues of fire. And each one in that upper room, the 120, each one had their own flame of the fire of God over their head. Each one had the experience of the very presence of Almighty God. And so it was more than just speaking a few words in an unknown tongue. It was the very presence of God upon his people, empowering them and releasing them. No wonder there were signs and wonders. No wonder there were miracles. No wonder there was freedom coming into the lives of people as the fire of God would set people free. Only the Spirit of God can do such things. And so this fire of God will cause his enemies to tremble, but will cause the people of God to walk in freedom. The psalmist says this in Psalm 97. We used to sing it back in the day. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. How many know that song? It comes straight from the Psalms. The psalmist The sons of Korah is describing how the Lord moves. And he's saying when the Lord moves, there's a fire that goes before him and destroys all of his enemies. And even the mountains melt like wax at the presence of our Lord. Every situation becomes destroyed as the presence of our God moves through. It's amazing how many people who try to oppose the move of God, that God just moves out of the way. But those whose hearts were right with God could be in the center of the fire of God and not be destroyed. You see, Elijah understood this about God, as I mentioned before. That this God is a consuming fire. But Elijah therefore could, when the king sent his soldiers to go and inquire of idols and those who were involved in idolatry, Elijah confronted them and called on fire from heaven. Hello? Destroying the enemies of God. And that same Elijah went up to heaven in what? A chariot of fire. We need to start to recognize that even the angels are flaming fires all around us, watching over us and protecting us as we go forth as a people of God. And so this fire of God, as it is with us, provides us with security, but it also provides us with protection. And it brings a zeal, an energy that comes from God himself to accomplish the things of God. When Paul says that, you know, his grace was working in me more than the other apostles, he's talking about the very fire of God working in him, causing him to carry this gospel despite all of the persecution. Something was in him burning. So the same fire that brings healing and brings warmth is the same fire that energizes you and energizes me to carry the word of God, to carry the message of God. And it's the same fire that destroys the enemies of God. The same fire that Elisha had confidence that even though his servant didn't understand that they thought they were surrounded, Elisha is like, no. Lord opened his eyes. And as his eyes were open, he could see the angels of God all around, fiery chariots of God. So when we talk about more being with us than those who are against us, we are talking about the whole host of heaven that glows with fire just like God himself. And so for the enemies of God, this fire of God produces judgment. For those who won't walk right, Aaron understood this when his sons offered strange fire to the Lord. That fire from the very presence of God came out and consumed them. Leviticus chapter 10. But for those who offer and deal with the Lord rightly, the fire of God will come and consume the sacrifice. And so here is a picture, saints. You and I, according to Paul in Romans 12, we have been called to make ourselves, present to ourselves, present to our bodies as living sacrifices before the Lord. So that the fire of God can come upon our bodies, come upon us. As living sacrifices, we carry the very fire of God wherever we go. Because we are submitted to the Lord and his presence is upon us. And so his fire comes to consume you and me and to be released as we go forth with his word. What a picture. Send your fire, Lord. Anoint us afresh, Lord. We need the fire of the very presence of God that brings empowerment, but brings judgment upon the things of darkness. I'm going to ask Pastor Sean if he'd come on back. I just want to say one more thing, which is jumping ahead, although I'm not going to elaborate on it, in terms of the oil. I want to read Psalm 45 and verse 7. Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. This is what the psalmist says. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. This is a word speaking specifically of Christ, but it also speaks about the very presence of God. That there's a way in which the oil of God comes and brings joy. That's why in Isaiah 61 it says that he has given us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It says he has anointed us Isaiah 61 and verse 3 is the scripture I want. I was looking to see if I had it there. It says, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness, the anointing of gladness instead of mourning. And so there's a thing that happens to us, and sometimes people here even demonstrate it, when the very presence of God comes, and with that comes a joy, with that comes a rejoicing, with that comes a gladness that comes straight from the very presence of Almighty God. Some people might laugh, some people might smile, but there's something that happens as the joy of the Lord is released by the very, very presence of God. That's all I want to say about the oil for today. But there's a fire of God that comes to set us free, that comes to energize us, that comes to release us, to become passionate for the things of Almighty God. And as the meeting has gone on, and as I said earlier, I want to pray for us. I want to pray again for our sister Angie. And for anybody who feels lethargic, anybody who feels that the zeal is draining, for the very fire of God to give you fresh zeal, to wake you up, for that burning to be upon you, that you can't rest because the very presence of God is burning on you. You have to go forth with the word of God. You want to release into the lives of others what God is doing in your own life. That the bondages are burnt off as you allow the fire of God to move in your life. So let's stand. Angie, could you come forward again? And anybody else?
No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. Hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. Oh, No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more, I want more. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more. Oh, I want more. I want more. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. Than here in your love, here in your love. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more. Oh, set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Whoa. I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. Here in your love. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love. Here in your love, Lord. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. Here in your love. Here in your love. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. Here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't control. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire. Set a fire, Lord. Set a fire, Lord. That I can't contain. I can't control. Set a fire, Lord. Set a fire, Lord. Set a fire, Lord. I want more. 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 Pour it out. Set a fire down in my soul. Can't contain, can't control.